Hey guys, what's up? It's your host, Dangerous ASMR, and we're back for yet another Drunken Dangerous. Who here is hoping that we pluck out some sheep's eyes, goat's eyes, cow's eyes, and throw them at our loved ones? I surely am, and I'm betting you, I'm fucking betting you that this happens again this time because we are reading another Grimm's Fairy Tales, 420 Fairy Tales, whatever you want to call it. I'm here, I'm narrating, you're here too. Why? Because you fucking can be. We're free and living in whatever country we live in, and hopefully free. If you're not free, please contact for come for help. Email me if you're not free, unless you're like one of those people that wants to not be free. In which case, fucking nice. And we're living in our respective countries under the threat of a coronavirus. And any way you can find respite from the day-to-day grind and the horrific cloud of death that hangs over us all. We could die at any moment, any fucking second of the day. If you want a relief from your stress, you can always come and listen to me. Dangerous ASMR. I'm drunk and dangerous. I swear to God, just saying that, I'm gonna die from the karma. The karma's gonna get me. I feel like every Drunk and Dangerous I do, it needs to come with a disclaimer at the beginning. Like, Dangerous ASMR can be kind of an asshole sometimes. She doesn't really mean it. Just kind of a douche. So just to be warned. She's gonna share more of her opinions than a person should probably share. But then again, I'm not a person, am I? I'm Dangerous ASMR. I'm not a person. I'm through the internets, and I'm a woman, and women on the internets don't exist. I'm an elderly man. And on that note, I know I should totally teach like voice acting classes. I'm an elderly man. I'm fucking killing the game. Holy shit. Yeah, I'm an elderly, like I'm a 7-year-old Korean man. And if I can train my voice to sound like a woman, so can you. So why don't you speak along with me? Grab your copy of Grimm's Fairy Tales and turn to number 37. The tablecloth, the knapsack, the cannon hat, and the horn. That's right, we are going back to cover that last story that's going to be just like the other stories we heard prior because I don't want to be a person that skips, so you can't fucking say I did. That's right, can't fucking say I did. And so, yes, we're going to read this story that will be surely very different from the tales I heard before. I probably just misjudged it by its title alone. I'm sure it'll be great. That's not a guarantee, by the way. Don't come for me. Once there were three brothers from the region of the Black Mountains. Originally, they were very poor and traveled to Spain, where they came to a mountain completely surrounded by silver. The oldest brother took advantage of the situation by gathering as much silver as he could carry and went back home with his booty. I personally carry my booty wherever I go. But you need more than two hands to hold it. The other two continued traveling and came to a mountain where nothing could be seen but gold. Where the fuck do these people live? I have to say, if you can just wander your happy little ass over to a mountain and it's surrounded by silver and gold, I'm guessing they're not really precious metals in this universe. If it's just there, free, I can't imagine like you're buying diamond rings and there's like fucking Zales Mountain over there and it's just diamonds everywhere. And some sucker's still paying thousands of dollars for this little shiny rock when it's literally surrounded by diamonds. There's no way it would be that valuable. So I'm led to believe that these are just stupid people weighing their body down with unprecious metals. Or they died and they're in heaven. I don't fucking know. Let's see. The second took as... Oh, let's see. That one brother said to the other, "What should we do?" The second took as much gold as he could carry, as his older brother had done, and went home. However, the third wanted to see if he could have even better luck, and continued on his way. I mean, like, to be fair, why couldn't the brothers have just like, I'll help take silver back from the mine, go home, and then continue on their journey? Like, why'd y'all have to like, you fucking found a mountain covered in silver. I can't believe the other brothers pushed their luck after that. Like, holy shit, there's a fuck ton of silver everywhere. No, I'm going to keep going. I'm sure there's something better than this fucking ass ton of free precious metals we found. Okay, so he's hoping for something better than gold. A working healthcare system. Insta thoughts virginity. my bathwater. okay, let's see. Oh yeah, so the third's stupid. He wanted to see if he could have even better luck. It's like somebody who's like, wow, I won $50 in this scratch off. I better spend $1,000 on more scratch offs. This gal get even richer. He walked for 3 days and then entered an enormous forest. After wandering about for some time, he became tired, hungry, and thirsty, and couldn't find his way out of the forest. So he climbed a tall tree to see if he could catch a glimpse of the end of the forest. However, he saw nothing but the tops of trees. His only wish now was to fill his body once more with cock, a pure grade A American beef. He's got to taste it one more time before he can go to his maker. I bet that's what it is. I bet they'll deny it. I bet it'll totally change course, but that's what the author was originally thinking. I fucking have your number, Grim. If that is your fucking name, it is probably not. Probably like Mark or something. Okay. his only wish was to fill them. You're not getting the fucking intermission music yet. It's not intermission. God damn it. Sit in your fucking seat and listen to this shit. Doesn't matter if it's rambling. It's all rambling. His only wish was to fill his body once more with grade A man meat, and he began climbing down the tree. When he got to the bottom, he noticed a table covered with many different dishes underneath the tree. He was delighted by this. Okay, you're hallucinating, clearly. And ate until he was full. After he had finished eating, he took the tablecloth with him and moved on. Whenever he got hungry or thirsty again, he opened the tablecloth and whatever he wished for would appear on it. Grade A man meat. He's got his fill. Now we're having an intermission because I'm thirsty. Insert intermission music here. Damn. I am almost as thirsty as that man is. But for like a delicious water beverage and not semen. Contrary to popular belief. Mom. I'm joking. It's like she sends me a Mother's Day card like, I regret having you. A Mother's Day, I just sent her a card that says my deepest sympathies. And the inside's just a picture of me. I don't have to write anything. We both know. A picture says 1,000 words. It's only funny because it's not true, you guys. Don't feel sorry for me. I'm full of shit. It's just fucking funny, okay? If your parents are actually like that, my deepest sympathies, I will forward my condolence card on to you. But it probably won't have my picture in it, unless like you feel condescended to, in which case, my deepest sympathies. I'd make you feel that way. This is intermission. What happens in intermission stays in intermission, bitch. That's why the blowjob I gave you in the bathroom during intermission didn't count as cheating on my boyfriend. Okay, so why'd you break up with me? It's intermission. I thought we were on an intermission. He's like, what the fuck? I went to get popcorn. You said it was a break.
Oh my God. I can't help it. Your brother said it was me.
But he's 12.
No, I'm joking. This is a joke. What happens in intermission stays in intermission, and because she's a woman, the court system found her not guilty and high-fived the 12-year-old. Fucking double standards. Hashtag America. Am I right? I fucking am. Okay, intermission over. Why are you listening to this? Let's go on to the real content. Not my bullshit attempt at humor. And the real content is my bullshit attempt at humor surrounding fairy tales. Okay, not some pseudo-political bullshit. All right, this guy eats a bunch of random shit off this tablecloth that he wishes for. He never wonders where it comes from. He just eats it all down. Nom, 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 nom. And every bite, every single bite gets the devil one step closer to owning his soul. The tablecloth is clearly a creation of Satan himself. He needs to pray to Jesus if he wants to get his soul back. So the moral of the story, kids, is when you feel like you're hungry, fill your heart with Jesus. And, you will be saved. I mean, you'll die, obviously, from not having eaten, but you'll be saved where it truly counts. I'm sorry, I'm in a very weird fucking mood. Let's actually start. Okay, intermission. Officially over. You got the rare double intermission. It's like an intermission Russian nesting doll, except it's like with the Russian nesting dolls being made out of like shit. That's what you get. My sincerest condolences to everyone at this point, myself included, who will have to listen back to this during editing sober and cringe again. Oh, again, at my actions. My sincerest condolences to myself. I need to start like pre-writing condolence cards to me so I can send it out at the end of these recordings. And by the time I post it, it's ready in the mail. Oh, yeah, okay. I forgive me. Okay. After a day's journey, he encountered a charcoal burner who was burning coals and cooking potatoes. What the fucking fuck? So it's alive. So here's a question. The charcoal burner, like, what does it get for, like, burning things? Does it eat the things it's cooking on its own body? It's kind of fucking amazing, to be honest. Could you imagine if, like, your stomach could just get so hot? It could, like, cook your food? Just, like, cook it on your own stomach? It's fucking bizarre. It makes me deeply uncomfortable. Did you go to somebody's house and they're like, you know, you better not have cooked this on your stomach? It's like, of course I didn't. And like, you're eating and you find one of like this guy's like chest hairs in your food. And you look over at him and he just like winks at you. What is this sign, Rand? What the fuck am I even saying? There's too many people. Okay. If you feel like you need a condolence card, hit me up in DM and I will send you one. I actually fucking will. No fooling. Send me a message that you were disturbed by the thought of a person being coal burner and cooking food on their stomach for you during a dinner party. And I will send you a condolence card. Okay, let's continue on from that drama. He was cooking things on himself. The charcoal burner invited him to be his guest. But he replied, no thanks. You're cooking shit on your stomach? That's fucking weird. Okay, he didn't say that. He said, no thanks, but I want you to be my guest. Shut the fuck up. That's not quirky. Fuck you. Fucking answer me. Don't give me this fucking, do you think I look pretty in this? Like, no, I don't. I think you look gorgeous. Fuck you, asshole. What the fuck is that shit? Don't like troll me in the beginning. Fucking owned. You thought I was insulting you. The person that you care about is insulting you. Fucking burn. You fucking were crushed for a goddamn second. That's fucked up. It's not a social experiment, bro. Jesus. Not cool. Stop. food on your stomach. Okay, he's having a conversation. I'm assuming he's just lost his mind from hunger and he's hallucinating the whole thing since he got the tablecloth, because that's when he's imagining he's eating food. He's probably eating like pine cones and shit. And now he's wandering around in some kind of daze. Like, he probably ate, like, you know, mushrooms. And I was thinking possibly hallucinogenic, possibly poisonous. Either way, they're altering his frame of mind. And now he sees, like, somebody left out their fucking charcoal burner with potatoes on it. He comes up to it and he starts fucking talking to the charcoal burner. The burner's like, hey, we want to eat these potatoes. And he's like, no, no. I don't want to eat your potatoes. I want you to eat with, to sit with me while I eat your potatoes. Like, what the fuck? What are you trying to sound important to say? Like, sure, cool. Like, you know, the fuck is this shit? Don't say it in a roundabout way, just like I did, wasting like 20 minutes of our time. Fucking dumb. Okay, let's see. I want you to be my guest. How's that possible? The charcoal burner asked. You don't seem to be carrying anything with you. That doesn't matter, he said. Just sit down over here. You can eat my dick. Then he opened his tablecloth, and soon there was everything and anything one could have possibly wished for. A logical story, not here. So one thing you can't wish for, that more wishes. The charcoal burner enjoyed the meal and wanted to have the tablecloth. Well, no shit. After they had eaten everything, he said, how'd you like to trade with me? I'll give you an old soldier's knapsack for the tablecloth. If you tap it with your hand, a corporal and six men armed from top to bottom will come out each time you tap. They're of no help to me in the forest, but I'd certainly like the tablecloth. You fucking lying ass piece of shit. You like some kind of ghost army at your disposal? Is it wrong that the first thing I thought was like, okay, how would you use that if you're not killing people? And then the second thought was like, fucking gangbang. Piper Perry with like a corporal and six men. Tell me people would not watch that, like fucking ghost porn. Civil War soldier ghost porn. They'd watch the shit out of that. Don't you fucking lie. I would too. Oh my God. Ah, oh, fuck. Way more interesting than like a Trisha Paytas sex tape. Shut the fuck up. Okay. All right. Oh my God. They made the trade. I'm guessing he didn't even test it. Fucking dumbass. They made the trade. Okay. Oh my God. Okay. The charcoal burner kept the tablecloth while the man from the Black Mountains took the knapsack. However, no sooner had the man gone some distance than he tapped the knapsack and out popped the war heroes. Holy shit, it was actually true. You know what? Good on that charcoal burner. He traded a lot of gangbang soldiers for food. What does my master want? It's kind of fucked up that he automatically says my master. Really ready for some gangbang submission scenes. I want you to march back and fetch my tablecloth that I left behind with the charcoal burner. That's fucked up. Holy shit, he's a thief. He's a bad person. I hope he burns to death. Let's find out. The charcoal burner, that's how he's gonna kill you, dude. He's a do not want a charcoal burner mad at you. It's fucking terrifying. It's like having an enemy, but he could literally just like singe you with his touch. And like, because his stomach can catch on fire. It's terrifying. I don't want that. No, thank you. Don't come at me with your charcoal burner stomach. Oh my God. So they returned to the charcoal burner and then brought back the tablecloth. Brought back, you mean stole it. They stole it. They beat him up? I mean, what even happens? What conversation does he have? Like, hey, master of like 2 minutes ago? I'm here to steal your shit. I mean, to be fair, you did trade me, so kind of fuck you. But also, like, sorry. All that weird charcoal burner sex was great. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to try to imagine how that would work. Let's see. Man, I lost my place again. I swear I am not that high. I promise. Okay, so they returned the charcoal burner and then brought back the tablecloth, which is stole the tablecloth. In the evening, he came to another charcoal burner. Is this like a settlement of charcoal burners? Do they like live on the plains? Is it a herd of charcoal burners? A cluster of burners? What is it? Why are there just charcoal burners everywhere? Is this like a type of person in this universe? Is it like an alternate species that is like at level with humans? But they just also cook their food out in the open? That's fucking bizarre. They wear clothes? How do they mate? What even is this? Do they have like... do they vote? Oh god, okay. I'm sorry, I lost my mind for a second. I just realized a charcoal burner is a profession. And not an appliance? Oh my god. But like, let's be completely honest. It's a mistake anyone could have made because of these fairy tale worlds. I'm not doing this based on Earth logic. I swear to God, I'm not crazy. Which is the first sign of insanity, not knowing you're crazy. Ah! Okay, so it's apparently a person. I think it's an anthropomorphic grill, so let's go with that shit. It's littered with anthropomorphic grills. I personally far prefer my take on the situation. I've always had feelings for my George Foreman grill, and now we can be together. Oh god, it's so beautiful. Ah, two factions brought together. Okay. Okay, what happened to the grill? Where am I? Oh, yeah, I found another grill. In the evening, he came to another charcoal burner. Grill, a grill, mind you. A big, fat fucking grill. Who invited him to supper? He had the same potatoes without grease. Is this just a common charcoal burner meal they make? Just fucking greaseless potatoes? I mean, honestly, like, are greased potatoes a normal thing? That sounds like a sex thing.
Baby, I'm gonna grease your potatoes.
But that's like the gross... that's like just gross. Like, are
your potatoes greasy for me? What the fuck?
So, but now I'm just picturing that he gives you, like, boiled potatoes. Just, like, no salt. Not even a little bit of grease. Just a boiled potato. But the man from the Black Mountains opened his tablecloth instead and invited him to be his guest. Nobody could have wished for a better meal. When it was over, the charcoal burner also wanted to make a trade. He gave the man a hat for the tablecloth. If the man turned the hat on his head, cannons would fire as if an entire battalion of soldiers and battery were right on the spot. How the fuck is that useful? In, like, really almost any fucking situation. If you want to deafen yourself? That's a horrible... That's awful. That has no use. That's what the fuck. Okay. Your weird-ass hat that makes army sounds. Pew, pew. That's better than a fucking tablecloth that feeds you forever. Fucking dumb. When the man from the Black Mountains had gone some distance, he tapped the old knapsack again, and the corporal and his six men were ordered to fetch the tablecloth again. Now the man continued his journey in the same forest, and in the evening he came upon a third charcoal burner, who invited him to eat potatoes without grease, like the others. It has to be a charcoal burner's specialty, because what the fuck is this without grease? Is the grease saved for, like, the special guests? Or is it, like, a bonus that they're not forcing grease on your potatoes? Is grease like butter? Are you trying to say butter, but just saying it in, like, the grossest way you can think of? You want some melted fat with your potatoes? Like, oh, you mean butter? Sure. Fucking asshole. Like, I don't call my boobs my lumps of chest fat. It's fucking gross. No one wants to hear it that way, even if it's true. It's fucking nasty. We're supposed to lie to ourselves and make it sound better. Grease with my potatoes? Depends on the grease, I guess. greasy potatoes. Then they negotiated, and the charcoal burner gave the man a little horn for the tablecloth. If the man blew on it, all the cities and villages, as well as the fortresses, would collapse into heaps of rubble. Holy fucking shit. That guy is a supervillain. He made a fucking supervillain weapon. With, like, some weird seismic shock that, like, pulses at just the right fucking frequency to vibrate everything till it breaks apart. This fucking asshole invents this doomsday device. This guy who just is a charcoal burner, apparently. I mean, it'd be more bizarre if it was a grill. But let's just say this guy burns charcoal for a living. That somehow, into his possession, either magically came upon, knew this happened, but never used it because it's not known this thing exists, or he somehow just knows it does this because apparently it always does the thing they say it does. So he must have, like, made it, right? If he didn't just stumble upon it and somehow figure it out. He must have created this weapon. So he must have spent a fuck ton of time making it, knowing it'll work, and then he just fucking gives it away to some dumbass who he's met for, like, an hour for his magical fucking tablecloth. Dude, he could burn your city down. What the fuck? You've now given this guy this supervillain weapon. What the fucking hell, you dumbass piece of shit? It's like, you know, when I was a kid, I loved the X-Men, like, so fucking much. And I thought, like, oh, it'd be so cool if, like, mutant superpowers were real. I mean, to be fair, I still think that's fucking cool as shit. But for me, because, like, I trust myself, well, I think I wouldn't be a fucking dumbass if I had superpowers with them. But realistically, if it was just, like, random mutant superpowers, holy fucking shit, the world would be fucking terrifying. Oh my fucking God. Like, road rage now is bad? Oh my fucking God. Like... Just an aside, that it would be just devastatingly awful for the majority of us who are just normal people. We're the cannon fodder between these warring, super powerful, and, like, a lot of them would just be dumb as shit. They'd be like average person, me and you, we're dumb as shit. So, I know, speak for yourself. I am, and for you. I'm speaking for all of us. We're all here. If you're here this long, come on. What do you think it says about you? Excellent taste. That's what it says. I would never insult you guys. I love you. You're what allows me to stay up here and read these ridiculous fucking fairy tales, which, like, it's taking me a million years to get through even one. I literally read this story, half this story, thinking that this other main character was a talking grill instead of a person. And yet most of you will still support me after this. And that's kind of loyalty that is worth more than money. It's just fucking amazing. It makes me feel really good. Thank you. That's all I could say. Thank you for coming for my TED Talk, TEDx talk. It's the same amount of prestige. Don't tell me. It's not. The charcoal burner didn't get to keep the tablecloth any longer than the other two, for the corporal and his six men soon came and fetched it. Shock. Now, when the man from the Black Mountain set everything together, he returned home and intended to visit his brothers, who had become rich from their gold and silver. I mean, did they ever just tell people, like, yo, just that mountain right over there? Do they ever do anything else with the... they ever return to the mountain, or are they just like, nah, I'm good. I'm good, bro. Like, I'm rich now. Like, what happened to the gold and silver? Who owns that mountain? Is it owned by anybody? I mean, if the land is owned, you can't just, like, steal the silver and gold. I'm just saying. That's a kind of a question, right? Like... but the mines seem to be untouched, so can you just, like, mine the fuck out of it? I don't know. I'm asking the important question. They won't, but I will, because I have nothing but time, baby. We're all inside. Where am I? Oh, yes. When he went to them wearing an old tattered coat, they refused to recognize him as their brother. So he immediately tapped his knapsack and had 150 men march out and give his brothers a good thrashing on their backs. How do you get 150 men in there? I thought he had like six. Where did 144 more come from? Where did they come from? I mean, really, does anybody else know where they came from? I don't remember this. What the hell? No, they never explain where all these men came from. There's 150 men now? He just is like, tappity-tap, six men became 150. What kind of Jesus bullshit is that? I don't believe this. Loaves and fishes ass bullshit. This did not happen. Now you have 150 men, okay. You did not thrash them on their backs. They're probably dead. I mean, I feel like if there's two guys against 150 people, just like each of them thrashing them once on their back will do serious fucking damage. This guy is now a supervillain. Thank you. Thank you to those irresponsible grills. So dumb. The entire village came to their aid, but they could do very little in this affair. News of this soon reached the king, who sent a military squad to take the soldiers prisoner, but the man from the Black Mountains kept tapping his knapsack and had an infantry and cavalry march out. Where the fuck are they coming from? The abyss? They defeated the military squad and forced to retreat. The following day, the king had even more soldiers sent to bring an end to the old guy. Who wrote this? A 10-year-old? An end to the old guy. What the fuck? Okay, Chad, good writing. However, he kept tapping his knapsack until he had an entire army. Okay. To what end does this guy want this? In addition, he turned his hat a few times. The cannons fired and the enemy was defeated and took flight. Finally, peace was made and he was appointed viceroy and awarded the princess for his bride. That poor princess. Holy shit. That guy's an asshole. However, the princess was constantly bothered by the fact that she had to take such an old guy for her husband. What is that with them and the term old guy? Old guy? Ew, he's an old guy. Okay, 13-year-old. What is this shit writing? Oh my god, I like him, but he's like an old guy. Yeah, he's like 23. Oh my god. Old guy. I can't believe I have to date like such an old guy. Dad, don't sell me off to this old guy. Being royalty sucks. Okay, let's see. The old guy. Her greatest wish was to get rid of him. Every day she tried to discover the source of the power that he used to his advantage. Finally, since he was so devoted to her, he revealed everything to her. Oh my god. Fucking simp. She managed to talk him into giving her his knapsack. Whereupon she forced him out. Afterward, when soldiers came marching against him, his men were defeated. However, he still had his little hat, so he turned it and had the cannons fired. Once again, he defeated the enemy and peace was made. After this, he was deceived again when the princess talked him into giving her his little hat. Like, how much will this man do for a blowjob? That's it. That's how much. Everything. He will give her everything. She's like, come on, didn't you want? He's like, okay, you could have my little hat. Please, just put my other little hat in your mouth. Now, when the enemy attacked him, he had nothing left but his little horn, so he blew it, and the villages, cities, and all the fortresses collapsed instantly into heaps of rubble. Then he alone was king, and blew his horn until he died. See, I like to think the moral of this story is if you are left alone in the ruin of your own making, suck your own dick until you die. It'll bring you peace at the end. Clearly, that's got to be the moral of this fucking weird-ass goddamn story. So he blew himself and died. What a shame. Okay. All right. We have another new story. We have a drink. Really loud. I'm a thirsty girl. That's horrifying. Why did I say that? I am not putting that in the audio. You know what? Now that I said I won't, I probably will, just to torture myself. It's just one of those moments when you cringe and you're like, should I forget this ever happened, or should I just kind of make note of it so I can't ever forget and hopefully don't do it again? I mean, I might as well fucking acknowledge it. I think cringe is my brand, so being cringe is on brand for me. Okay. Let's continue to cringe along, shall we? As I read the next and final story tonight, because holy shit, I dragged on that first one about charcoal grills and sucking your dick until you die. Truly, my finest work. Cringe out of 10 points for me on my ability to understand what they meant by charcoal burner. I still think of it as a living grill that cooks potatoes on its stomach. 'Cause that'd be dope as fuck. It really fucking would be. It'd be so fucking dope. I want to see it so fucking bad. Oh my god. Like, none of my friends can cook food on their stomachs. Okay. Our last story for the evening. Ladies and gentlemen, don't you feel so sophisticated as we listen to these classic fairy tales? I feel so sophisticated. It's so good. And to get louder because, okay, that's better. All right. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to shake you back into reality. Let me know if you want more whispering, speaking things. I could probably even try to do a whispering drunk and dangerous. If you want to hear me try to make my laughs and soothing whispers, that'd actually be kind of interesting. Okay, this last story, I will finally get this title out, I swear to fucking God. I was probably in intermission when I started to drink because I just can't talk. It's this called The Elves. The Elves. And then the little undertitle is About the Shoemaker for Whom They Did the Work. A shoemaker had become so poor that he didn't have enough leather left for a single pair of shoes. In the evening, he cut out the shoes that he planned to work on the next morning. However, when he got up the next day and was about to sit down to do his work, he saw the two shoes already finished and beautifully made, standing on the table. Soon a customer paid so well that the shoemaker could purchase enough leather for two pairs of shoes, which he cut out that evening. The next morning, when he once again wanted to sit down and work, they were already finished, just as the pair had been the other day. Honestly, if I was that guy, I would think that I was like sleepwalking or something. That's the only way I could explain it. I mean, if I felt well rested, I'd be like, holy shit, how am I doing all my work in my sleep? Like, fucking hell yeah, me. I don't know how I'm doing this shit, but hell fucking yeah. I'd be the best. I would not be like, oh, it's elves. Clearly. Let's see. Now he was able to purchase enough leather for four pairs of shoes from the money he received from the two pairs, and so it went. Whenever he cut out in the evening was finished by morning, and soon he was a well-to-do man again. Now one evening, right before Christmas, after he had cut out many shoes and wanted to go to bed, he said to his wife, "We should stay up one time and see who does our work in the night." So they lit a candle, hid themselves in the corner of the room behind the clothes that they had hung up there, and watched closely. At midnight, two cute little naked men came and sat down at the workbench. This is somebody's fetish. Took out all the cut-out pieces of the shoes and worked so swiftly and nimbly that the shoemaker could not take his eyes off them. He was thinking, what could they do to my car? Yeah, we work together like a team. Cock and balls working together. All four of those tiny naked little men. He knows what he wants. He's going to grease them up. That's why he has his potatoes greaseless. He saves all the grease for his cock. I apologize. My condolences for traveling down that road of thought. It's just a weird fucking episode, you guys. Weird. Okay. Little naked men. Yep. Indeed, they were incredibly fast, and he was amazed. Fast at draining his balls. They didn't stop until they'd finished the work on all the shoes. Then they scampered away, and it wasn't even day yet. Now the shoemaker's wife said to him, "The little men have made us rich, so we ought to show that we're grateful." Orgy. "I feel sorry for them running around without any clothes and freezing. I want to sew shirts, coats, jackets, and trousers for them, and you should make a pair of shoes for each one of them." The shoemaker agreed, and when everything was finished, they set all the things out in the evening. They wanted to see what the little men would do and hid themselves again. Then the little ones appeared as usual at midnight. When they saw the clothes lying there, they seemed to be quite pleased. They put on the clothes extremely quickly, and when they were finished, they began to hop, jump, and dance. Finally, they danced right out the door and never returned. So is that saying you shouldn't be kind to people that are doing really nice things for you because they'll disappear from your life and never return? I don't even understand what the moral of this story is. Like, the little men got their freedom, which is good because they were, like, slaves or something, and they were trying to buy the right to get their clothes so they could escape from their, like, fucking captivity. Like, they were cursed under a witch, right? Like, you have to please the owner of this household because they were lazy and didn't do any work. Like, you have to please someone so much that they reward you with your clothes, you know. You're not even worthy of your humanity, and they just, like, strip them naked, and then in order to get their, you know, humanity back, they have to get their clothes back. They have to win them back by doing good deeds. So he freed them, but then also kind of fucked himself over because now he's like, well, shit, all these contracts to make all these shoes, and I can't do this shit, I'm lazy. It's very interesting. Definitely, probably not about what I talked about, but that's the way I choose to see it. That's my take on the matter. Maybe the shoemaker was a girl the whole time. Maybe he was a sandwich maker, like a press, a machine, who knows. All right, there's another part to this story. This is about a servant girl who acted as godmother. A poor maiden was industrious and neat and swept the dirt from the door of a large house every day. One morning she found a letter lying in front of the door, and since she couldn't read, she brought it to her employers. The letter was an invitation to the maiden from the elves, who asked her to be godmother to one of their children. That's suspect as fuck. Do not take up that fucking invitation. That is suspect as fuck. Do not do that. The maiden thought about this for a while, but after her employers convinced her that she shouldn't refuse the invitation, assholes, she said yes. Soon after, three elves came and led her to a hollow mountain. I'm sure nothing bad is going to happen there. Has that ever started a sentence where something good happened? Three people lead you to a hollow mountain where your grave awaits you is how that should end. We all know it is. There's nothing good coming from this. Oh my God, I've never met you, but be a godmother to my child. You've never seen me and two of my friends will come pick you up and we'll lead you through this hollow fucking mountain in pitch black where no one knows where you're going. Sure, sounds like fun. I can't wait to meet my godchild. What's his face? Oh my God, everything was small there, and also incredibly dainty and splendid. The mother was lying on a black ebony bed with pearl knobs. What are the knobs on the bed for? The covers were embroidered with gold, the cradle was ivory, the bathtub was made of gold. I guess it's just also gold. Okay, cool. The maiden performed her duties as godmother and then wanted to depart right after doing this. She spent those days with great joy, and when they were over, she wanted to return home. They filled her pockets full of gold and led her back out of the mountain. And when she came to her home, she realized it wasn't 3 days she had been gone, but one whole year. I mean, so I don't even know what to think about that. That's weird as fuck. So, like, it was a good thing, but also they kind of stole a lot of her fucking life. And also, how are you godmother in 3 days? How does that fulfill your godmotherly duties? I felt like that was a long-term thing. Am I wrong? I've never been a godparent. I felt like that was just kind of like a title someone got that was kind of like just like an acting title, not something where like, hey, you're godmother, so you do your godmother thing for 2 days and then you're done. Like, you did it. You were a godmother. Like, is it a title you keep? I don't understand. Like a doctorate? What, do you have to renew your godmothering degree every like 4 years? Does somebody know? I have no idea. All right, another part. I think it's the last part. About a woman whose child they had exchanged. The elves had taken a mother's child from the cradle and replaced the baby with a changeling who had a fat head and glaring eyes. It's Alex Jones. And he would do nothing but eat and drink. It is Alex Jones. Bitch, I was fucking right. Speaking of drink, I am very parched. Okay, that was good.
guess I did toss it away.
I'll pick it up later, I swear to God. I'm not a disgusting heathen, I swear. I don't leave things on the floor. Right, Alex Jones. In her distress, the mother went to her neighbor and asked her for advice. The neighbor told her to carry the changeling into the kitchen, put him down on the hearth, light the fire, and boil water in 2 eggshells. That sounds like any kind of quack medicine now. I feel like I could read that in some kind of website that would totally prove it, you know? Like any one of those weird, sketchy-ass, like, Facebook ads you see. Or it's just like any kind of spam link that you see in your fucking mail where you're just like, what the fuck is this shit that you're selling? It's just obviously a scam. That's what this is. That would cause the changeling to laugh. I don't know how. Inside joke with the changelings, like greaseless potatoes. And when he laughed, he would lose his power. What a shitty fucking kryptonite. Anything that makes you laugh, so you have to like avoid that your entire life. I guess you just listen to more Drunk and Dangerous. You know there are people out there that have listened to this and be like, none of this is funny. You're not funny. You're just crass. What, do you think saying bad words is funny? Oh, what a humorous observation. Yes, none of us could have said that. It's entirely witty. We're so proud of you. Congratulations. Oh, your lukewarm humor panders to the lowest common denominator, which is obviously your audience. See? I can roast myself with the best of them. I can roast them like a greaseless fucking potato. I'm the grill person of life. Metaphors, what are they? Yep, let's boil water into eggshells to make your baby laugh, and it loses its power like a battery. The woman did everything the neighbor said, and when she put the eggshells filled with water on the fire, the block-headed changeling said, is it Charlie Brown? The block-headed changeling? Is it a Lego baby? What the fuck is this shit? A block-headed changeling. Okay. Now I'm as old as... This is what it fucking says. And I honestly... Like, it hurts me. It's so stupid. Now I'm as old as the Western Wood. And in all my life, I've never seen eggshells cooked as... These have been. And the changeling had to laugh about this. And as soon as he laughed, a crowd of elves came all at once. Wait, do they come all at once? Or do they arrive at once? Please tell me. There is a difference. They brought the right child with them, placed him down on the hearth, and carried off the changeling. What the fuck does that even fucking mean? So elves will steal your baby until you can boil water in eggshells and make their baby go hoop-de-doo, I'm a fucking changeling, a lippity-laugh-laugh. And they switch the babies back. That makes no goddamn sense. I mean, you know what? Forgive me, maybe the elves have been conquered long ago and they just rewrote history and wiped everybody's minds, but the Grimm's fairy tales remain. And so I just don't understand the wisdom of this particular fairy tale about how to deal with elves, because I don't personally think they exist, but I've been brainwashed to believe so. Yeah. It's the media. They never cover the real news, like the elves. You know? It's awful. So they're what's causing fucking climate change. Elves. And their magic. It's horrible. It's just the worst. But on that note, that is it for this week's truly bizarre, I don't know how to describe it, hopefully golden showers of wonderfulness, drunk and dangerous. I hope you enjoyed yourself. I certainly did. And hopefully I will see you back next week, and I will talk to you then. All right. Love you guys. Bye. Mwah.